I kneel, gritting my teeth against the pain of my cracked ribs and blistered hand. The hard, cold edge of the marble step bites into my knees as the king's glare forces me down against it. Such cruel irony. I'm exactly where I'd planned to be on this day, kneeling before the glory of Louis XIV, but so very far from the victory I'd envisioned. I should be here with my father, beauty beyond imagining in hand. Instead, I am chained and beaten, a delicious spectacle for this heartless court. And Papa? Well, who knows exactly where Papa is? I pray to the Virgin and every saint in heaven that he is finishing our grand project and not lying in a drunken stupor somewhere, rendering all our hard work and sacrifice in vain.
Juliette Pitto.
The king's voice draws me out of my prayer. He rolls my name slowly across his tongue, as he might an old wine, deciding if there's any sweetness to it, or if it has soured to vinegar. I raise my eyes to his gleaming presence. Louis XIV is all that he claims to be. The living sun, ablaze with the fire of his own vanity. Black-clad ministers orbit him, their muted coats and manners only sharpening his brilliance. When they glance my way, they register cold indifference to colder disdain. But I don't care. The king alone matters. He alone will sanction death and how much pain I will endure before it comes. He alone is the one I must defy. I clench my teeth and dare a glance at his face. A mistake I realize too late. He snares my eyes with his own and I cannot look away. Knowing I am pinned, he smiles and leans back in his gilded chair, luxuriating in his power to hold me dangling, poised to fall the moment he wills it. He stretches out one silk-hosed leg, allowing the court to admire his strong, curving calf, his shapely ankle, and, of course, his stylish, well-heeled shoe with its preposterously large bow.
Juliette Pitto,
he says again, his voice languid like a cat, lazily stretching, flexing its claws.
I am waiting for an answer.
I swallow and draw a breath. I have prepared an answer, though I know it is not the one he wants. I force out the trembling words.
I confess to all charges, Your Majesty. I alone am guilty.
His smirk tightens ever so slightly.
It seems to me, Mademoiselle Pitto, that you are at the center of a large conspiracy.
My heart contracts with fear, and my words tumble out too quickly.
No, Your Majesty, the others are innocent. They had no knowledge. Where is my diamond, Juliet?
My name cracks like a whip on his tongue. I swallow again as desperation flares through my body. Doubtless the king can hear it in the quiver of my voice, but this is my only chance.
You will have it, Your Majesty, if you will only give us 2 days. All we have done is for your glory. You will shine like the sun, I assure you.
His eyebrows raise in their exquisite arch, his control tucked neatly back into place.
Do I not shine like the sun already?
He shifts, letting the gold embroidery on his velvet robes catch the light. Rubies and diamonds flash from every finger.
You are le roi soleil,
I reply obediently. The sun king, resplendent in his jewels and power.
The day you came into power is the day the sun rose on all of France.
Amusement ripples across his features, and I realize I have slipped into a trap. Like a cat, he will play with me for a time before the fatal blow.
And your father?
Louis asks.
Did the sun rise on him too?
I grip my teeth again. What answer does he expect me to make? The mouse never knows the rules of the cat's game, except perhaps that it can't win. All I can think is to repeat a warning I should have heeded a year ago.
If you are the sun, Your Majesty, my father is Icarus. Ah, Icarus.
who flew too close to the sun in his waxen wings and fell. Do you expect my pity, mademoiselle?
A single tear falls down my cheek before I can stop it. My father believed he was doing your bidding, your majesty. It's what I should have said before.
And was that your intent too, to do my bidding?
I lower my gaze to the enormous bows on his shoes, hoping humility will lend credence to my answer. Yes, your majesty.
Then tell me where the diamond is,
he demands, slamming a fist on the arm of his chair. The assembled ministers jump, puppets on a single string. I jump too. Pain explodes along my ribs, where I was kicked mercilessly the night before. My hand jerks instinctively toward my side, but the chains that bind my hands deny me that comfort.
Spain, perhaps? Were you working for Charles of Spain?
The king asks, pulling my attention back. Our work has been for you and no other, your majesty, I assure him, though my mouth is nearly too dry to speak.
Then why do you defy me?
Choosing words wisely has never been my talent, but I struggle forward. The diamond is not ready, your majesty. Give my father 2 more days and you will have it. I swear on the virgin birth, I am telling the truth.
You will forgive me if I have little confidence in your claims of truth,
he says. I raise my eyes to his again. Such boldness could cost me dearly, but he must see my sincerity. If you will grant us the time, I will confess all, and the diamond will be returned more glorious than you can imagine. His lip curls in an arrogant smile.
You underestimate my imagination, mademoiselle.
I smile back, dangerously matching his arrogance, knowing I do not. 2 days, your majesty, please.
And if I do not grant you that time?
Then I will tell you nothing, and your diamond will be lost. The words are out before I can stop them. But even as I speak, I know I have gone too far. If stealing the diamond didn't solidify my fate, my impudence surely will.